we discussed the two kinyonim that we have, two of the kinyonim that work by karka. One of them is kinyon kesef, and the second is kinyon shtar. The third is chazaka, but we spoke about kesef and shtar. We said that kesef, even though money is a kinyon for karka, all you have to do is give a penny and you acquire the land. But the Gemara said that in a place where they write contracts, a person, a buyer, isn't sumach das that the kinyon should be finished until he actually gets that contract. So in places like here in America, I think most places in the world, where they write contracts for real estate, even though midaraisa kinyan kesef should work, you just give a penny and you own it, like they do with mechiras chametz. But if they write a contract, there's no sumach das until you get the contract. And then we said, well, it could be either a shtar raya or a shtar kinyan. It could be a deed, it could be a... we'll see the elements of what we said. But either a shtar that makes the kinyan says, Reuven is hereby selling it to Shimon, or a proof that says that Reuven sold it to Shimon. But either way would be good enough to make the buyer secure. Then we said the seller isn't secure. If there's a kinyan shtar, we say that there's not a good kinyan, even though shtar midaraisa, just writing a contract alone should be good enough. But a seller is not secure until he gets all of his money. So, practically speaking, unless he was selling it because it's a bad piece of real estate. Right? We gave that case from the Chua Shai, where it's just a really bad land. So then he's just glad to get rid of it. The first person that gives a contract, he gets rid of it, even though he didn't get the money for it, and he'll collect it later. It's worth his risk. So, it ended up that to make a kinyan on karka, in most cases, you will need to make a kinyan kesef and shtar. You'll need money, full payment, and a contract. So he said that nowadays, when you make a contract for a residential sale, so there you are getting a contract that says Reuven selling it to Shimon, and you're also paying money, so that should be a kinyan. Except we said, since in one of the points in the contract says clearly that when at the time of settlement, within 2 months, at the time of settlement, that's when the buyer will receive a deed from the seller, and that will convey the property to the seller. So then we said that it really doesn't work until you have settlement. Right. So once again, even though at the time of when you make the contract with the seller, you are giving money and you're getting a contract in return, we said that's not going to be a good sale, because you said befeirish in the contract, you said in there that at the time of settlement you're going to get a deed from the buyer, and the buyer is going to give you a deed which will convey the property to the seller is going to give the deed which will convey the property to the buyer. Mm-hmm. So we said, even though you make a kinyan, if there's no gemiras das, the kinyan doesn't work. So here it might be a maisa kinyan of kesef and shtar, but since you said specifically, explicitly, that the kinyan won't take place until settlement, at which time the buyer receives the deed from the seller, so we said the kinyan won't work until the settlement. And at the settlement, that's what happens. At settlement, at least in Maryland, the seller gives the buyer a deed and says, in consideration of the thousands of dollars that I received, I hereby am conveying the property to the buyer. So it's clear both from the residential contract of sale and the deed, that it's the shtar, the deed, which is giving over the title, that's the kinyan, and only then at time of settlement is the kinyan made. We then said, so does that mean that the buyer and the seller could just renew the contract until settlement, because there's no kinyan made? There shouldn't even be a mishapara, because they said the kinyan is not going to be until settlement. So there we said that since there's a din called hischayvus, there's a din that if I write a shtar that I am obligating myself to do something, not that I'm just saying I'm going to do it. If I say I'm going to do it, that's kinyan devarim. That doesn't mean anything. But if I make a kinyan and say I'm obligating myself to do something, so then you have a chiyuv to do it. So here also I thought, at least, that since the contract says Reuven is conveying to Shimon, and he's selling to the seller is giving it to the buyer, and the buyer is going to is giving the money to the a down payment to the seller, I thought that could, and in Dina de Mahusa in the world, that's called equitable title. They are getting something when they're conveying that to them at that time of writing that contract. So you don't have to come on to Dina de Mahusa Dina, since that's what the words say, and it's understood, commonly understood, that now that gives the buyer and the seller both the right to force the other one to go through with the contract. So I thought that that would be a good lesson in his chayvus. So even though the kinyan wasn't made at the time of the contract, but at least there was an obligation for them to go through with that, with the deals, unless there are some contingencies until settlement. So even though there's no kinyan at the time, we said they still could not renege on that transaction. So that was last week. This week, I want to take it one step further, and let's talk about settlement. After settlement, right, and the buyer receives the deed saying that the property is conveyed to him, is there any way out at that point, kinyan-wise? Well, already there's his chayv, as that we said. But is the kinyan really finished at that point? Why will you say it should not be finished at that point? Because, and this is the way it works in Maryland, but the truth is this has been a shaila for the last couple hundred years. Most of these svarim have dealt with these tshuvas one way or the other. But at least the law, let's talk in Maryland. In Maryland, the law is that if I, the seller, sell my house to Reuven, then we have settlement. And I give him a deed saying that the title is being transferred to him. And then I write another contract to Shimon, and Shimon doesn't know about Reuven. He doesn't have notice of Reuven. And Shimon is the first one to have his title recorded in the government offices. The law in Maryland is that the second buyer gets the property. That's the law in Maryland, and I think in many states it's like that. Some has to have notice, some without notice, but in Maryland that's the way the halacha works.
So, you just explained, the first recorded deed?
Right, that's the property in Maryland. So the question then is twofold. Two things I'd like to discuss tonight. How does halacha look at that? Well, halacha, if they go to a Din Torah, right, if it's all Jews involved, then Reuven and Shimon go to a Din Torah, and Reuven tells Shimon, look, I bought it first, I have a contract that says it's mine, and you went, okay, I'm sorry you didn't know about it, go get your money back from that crooked seller, you have to get your money back from him, he sold you something that was mine. Or do we say that Shimon can say, look, we live in America, we live in Maryland, and the Din of the Malchusa is that I get it, and you have to get money from your title company, insurance company, you have to deal with whatever you want to deal with, but it's my property right now. So that's the first shaila. And the second shaila is, it might depend on how we decide this shaila. The second shaila is, once we say that there is a way, a legal way, that the seller could end up giving the property to another person, does that impact on the kinyan that the buyer made? The first buyer, any buyer makes, because even though he buys it, and now it seems like it's his, but if the seller could go give it to someone else, what type of kinyan is that? So maybe let any buyer say, look, I know I made a kinyan, I know I have this star now, it seems like a mice of kinyan, but you still can sell it to someone else, crookedly at least, so I want to change my mind, for whatever reason it is, I change my mind about the sale, and I want to renege. Right? Is it a real kinyan based on this fact that the recordation can award the field to someone else, or the property to someone else that bought it? That's the twofold question tonight. I'd like to talk about a Gemara in Baba Basra, which seems to be very similar to our Shaila. The first thing on the handout. I'm Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, and this is one of the sources of Dina D'Machus Adina. So Rabbi Yehuda quoted Shmuel saying, "Nichsei Ove Kachavim Harein Kemidbar." The property, the real estate of a goy, is like a deshit. We'll see what that means soon. Anyone that makes a kinyan chazak on them acquires them. It doesn't mean you go to the guy next door and take his property. It means it's talking in a case where a guy sold, a non-Jew, sold his property to a Jew. At that point, Rabbi Yehuda quotes Shmuel is saying that another Jew can go and take that property for himself. Why is that? You know, we're not saying that any Jew, that a normal guy's property is a midbar. It doesn't mean that. It means if a non-Jew sells his property to a Jew, at that point, and the Jew paid the money, at that point a second Jew can go seize the property. Why is that? Because the guy, as soon as he gets his money, he has relinquished his rights to the property. I have my money. The guy says, I have my money, so I don't have the property anymore. I got paid already. But in Dina Yisrael, we learned last week, Yisrael lo kani ad mati shtar liyodei. But in Jewish law, a kinyan doesn't work until you get a shtar, because especially if it's a place where they write contracts, you don't have smichas das until you get that contract. Hilchot, therefore, harein kimidbar. In between the time where the first buyer has given the money and he has not yet received a contract, at that middle interim time, someone else could go and call Maksa ben Zochavan, and you could go and grab it during that no man's land. Right, that's the Gemara says. It's a special, unique case. It's like a confluence of different halachas. A non-Jew, when he sells something, when he gets the money, he's finished with the property. It's not his anymore. He's relinquished it. He's made it hefker. It's not his anymore. But in Jewish law, since in Jewish law, a Jew doesn't consider himself to have bought something until he finally has a contract, like we learned last week. So he gave up the money, and that was enough for the guy to give up his land. But the Jew didn't make the kinyan yet because he didn't get the shtar. So the second person is able to grab them. Now, the Rishonim talk, he might have to pay the first one. There might be different ways, you know, that he might have to compensate the first one. But the second one gets the property. So, Frek the Gemara, Marle Bayel Rav Yosef, Rabbi Yes Rav Yosef Akasha. Miyamar Shmuel Halchi, because Shmuel had really said such a halacha. Bahamar Shmuel holds Dina de Machusa Dina. He holds, you go by the law of the land. Umalka Omar, and a king says, Lo Likni Ara Ella Bigarta. You don't acquire land unless you have a shtar. So, according to Abaya's Kasha, the first Jew should. He paid the money, he didn't get a shtar yet. The second Jew made a kinyan chazaka, but he shouldn't acquire it yet either because he didn't get the shtar. Whoever gets the deed, he's the one that's going to acquire it. Putting it into our terms, if the halacha is, the government says, the person who records the deed first gets the property, right? That would be the Gemara's Kasha. We should say, Dinah Mechus Adinah, Lechor Rabbi should be the same thing. So, Amar Elei, Rabbi Yosef answered, Amar Elei Adan, I don't know what to answer your Kasha. But I just know that Uvda V'Dur Dura Avasa, there was a case in Dura Dura Avasa, Rashbam has two pshatim. One is that that's the name of the city, Dura Dura Avasa. The second pshat is it was a village of shepherds. Yisrael de Zav and Aram, a Jew bought land from a guy. He also, Yisrael Achrina Rapi Pogport, and another Jew came and did a Kinyan Chazak. He dug a little bit, he made a little bit of a hole with a shovel. He made some Kinyan Chazaka there. And also, the Kamid of Yehuda, and the case became a friend of Yehuda, and Ukma Biyot did a Shenya, and he said that the second one owns it. So I just know that that's what Shmuel holds. How do you answer this Dira? So the Rashbam explained, he answered this Dira because. Obviously you are misunderstanding what civil law is. You said civil law is that the person doesn't acquire it until he has a shtar. You made a mistake. As soon as you make a kinyan chazaka, the civil law recognizes that as a kinyan too. Right, that's the Gemara. From this Gemara seems to be a precedent to our laws of recordation, and so we'll see from the other Shas and Shuvas laws of Tabo, they have an Eretz Yisrael, it's called, it's an old Turkish law, that the things have to be recorded in the Tabo in Eretz Yisrael. In Hungary it was called Tabluzia. It seems to be, people were allowed to own property, all the governments, normal governments, went and they had some system of recording by property. And many of them had the law that until it's recorded, the kinyan doesn't work. So we should be able to apply this Gemara to our case, because over here, Jew number one went and made a kinyan on the land. He made kinyan pesach. Jew number two comes and makes kinyan chazaka, which should help because there's this no man's land here. But the Gemara says if the din de mechusa would say that kinyan chazaka does not work until and the only thing that works is recordation or kinyan shtar, so we would say din de mechusa dina overrides the second Jew's kinyan, right? The Rashbam says it's only because they misunderstood what civil law was. But if the civil law was that ein l'chinami, you don't have a kinyan until you get that contract, so the second one's chazaka would not be helpful, even the midrash chazaka is a kinyan.
Well, sold it. I assume that you weren't...
The guy sold it.
You weren't kind yet because you didn't get the star. You didn't bring it to
the You're market. Not so much das yet. You made it.
But didn't he sell it already? Or
he sold it. That's what the guy was saying.
Just he sold it again.
He didn't sell it again. In this case, in the Gemara's case, the second guy made a Kinyan Chazaka on his own.
Not in our case.
Our case, okay.
In our case, fine, you weren't kind yet, you don't go to the way record or whatever you have to do.
Right.
But the first guy, the seller sold it. His second sale wasn't a sale.
So you want to be mechalek between the Gemara's case and our case. Is that what you're doing?
Yes.
Because you want to say that the Gemara is talking in a case... An unusual circumstance where the guy, because this is an invite guy, they're willing to relinquish rights to the property as soon as they have it. And that leaves that little window of opportunity for a second person, a second Jew, to come and make a kinyan. But over here, by our laws, that if the first one sold it to the second one, he relinquished rights to it. And a second person really has no way of getting in there except from buying it from the first one, who has no right to buy it anymore. That's what you want to say.
I
think there's a machlokes achronim here also. And I'll tell you the way I understand it, because what the difficulty here was, the tshuvas are talking about cases and they knew what the laws were there, and we have to know whether they're really talking that Hungarian law is the same as Polish law, is the same as Turkish law. I'm not sure, but what I think I figured out is what I have on the second side of the handout here. And we'll start with the Chazon Ish. The Chazon Ish was talking in Eretz Yisrael pre-Medina. This was written in 1938. The Chazon Ish says, Ba'artzeinu in Eretz Yisrael, Eina Malchus Matpedes Alafia Shtaros Zulasa. In Eretz Yisrael in 38, I'm assuming the Chazon Ish was already in Eretz Yisrael in 38, he's saying that the government does not mind if two people make their own contracts. And he goes on to say, and they don't mind, like here in America, that if people want to arbitrate in front of Dinei Torah, in front of Batei Din, the government will recognize that also as an arbitration court, and they'll uphold anything arbitrated in such a court. So the Chazon Ish says, based on that, even though they have a law of this tabo, they have this tabo law, since they don't mind two people having their own kinyan, their own dinim by themselves, so if Reuven purchased a field from me, even though I didn't record it yet in the tabo, he now owns it, and if I go crookedly and sell it to Shimon afterwards, it won't be a good kinyan. Right? That's the Chazon Ish says first. But he says, if it's at a place where the government does not want anyone else to write any kinds of bills of sale except their standardized form, and they don't want anyone else to make a kinyan, it has to be formal in their government offices and in their courts. So then he says, the first person does not, Reuven in my case, does not acquire it because I just made my own private sale with him, kesef, shtar, whatever I did, but I didn't record it. I didn't do their proper standard way. So the kinyan does not work because of dina demachus adina. He concludes that since in where he was living in Eretz Yisrael at the time, they didn't mind. So that's why he said the kinyan would be a good kinyan. Now what's he saying? I think what he's saying is like this. There's two ways to look at recordation. There's two ways it could work. One way it could work is the government could say, I don't care what you people do, the land has not been transferred until you record it in our office. We want there to be peace in the world here. We don't want people fighting all the time and arguing land records. We want to be, everything should be standardized. You hold this is a kinyan, then someone else will come and say it's not a kinyan. Nothing gets transferred until it's recorded in our offices. That's their law. So in such a situation, the Chazon Ish says, we have precedent from our Gemara, Baba Basra, that Dinei Mechusha works in such a case.
Well, therefore the first sale wasn't a sale either.
Right, that's what he's saying. Even if no one else beats him out, he's saying it's not a sale at that point because
he got the money, he didn't sell yet.
That's not a kinyan, because the Dinei Mechusha says, until you do it our way, there's no kinyan. But if it's like in most places, well, that's not what the government wants. The government says, you make whatever type of deal you want with you two people. The two people can work it out themselves to make their kinyan. We just have a rule that we want things recorded to protect the buyer. Right? That's the reason for the law in Maryland. Why is there such a law that to the one that records it first wins the land, because if you purchase the property, you'd always be nervous that I purchased it and I paid all this money, but maybe someone purchased it earlier and he'll end up coming to me 5 years later and say, look, I have an earlier document. So the government says, you don't have to worry about that. Just make sure you check the title. If the title belongs to the seller now and you get a transfer to your name, you win no matter what. Right? That was, so it's really protection for the anyone purchasing real estate. Now, there could be this loophole that will end up that if you sell to someone else first and it doesn't get recorded for some reason, the seller could be crooked and sell it to a second guy, you know, misusing that rule. Right. 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 So that's what we're saying. So there, that creates a loophole. But as the but in, here in Maryland, and I think in and the Chazon Ish was talking in his countries, the law does not say the kinyan won't work until you record it. The kinyan works now. They're just saying we have a takana. We're making a takana. We're making a law to say to protect consumers, to protect land buyers, to say that whoever records it first in their in the government records will have the land in case there's any dispute. Right? So I think that's what the Chazon Ish is saying, these two halachas. He's saying if they're he's saying divei mechusa dinah applies in cases where they say this is the only way you can make a kinyan. This is the way you have to make a kinyan, you have to do it like this. It won't work until you record it. If they're saying you can make whatever type of kinyan you want, just we have this rule to protect people that the one that has first recordation wins the property in case of dispute, so the kinyan works. And if there were Jews involved, right, if I was selling it first through Reuven here in Maryland, that would be a good kinyan, and he now acquires it, and if I go then and sell it to Shimon, even if Shimon goes and records it first, even though according to Maryland law Shimon should get it, according to Dinei Torah, Reuven will be the rightful owner. I think that's the way it comes out of according to the Chazon Ish. If the rule would be that no one makes a kinyan, if there's no kinyanim in the state until it's recorded, so then we would agree that my maisa with Reuven is meaningless, either because that's a minig or because dinah machlusa dinah, and it has to go to Shimon. And even at that point, it's nothing. He says, even just my private sale to Reuven is meaningless because we didn't do it the way the government says. But if the government says I can make whatever kinyan I want, and there's just this law of this recordation law, so there he's saying that the Dinei Torah would overrule Dinei Demachusa, and they'd have to work it out among themselves. That even though they shouldn't take him to court, but even though the courts would allow the second person to have the property, Al Pi Din Torah, the first one would have the property. That's what the Chazon Ish seems to be saying. Rav Shlomo Zalman, I don't have the sefer, but the Pesach Chazon quotes the Madoni Aretz on Shviz. I was looking all over Yeshiva today. No one has it. He seems to say across the board, Dina de Mechusa Dina does not apply between two individuals. Even though Dina Mechusa says, even if they would say, we're Makbit, this shit can't be any kinyan other than what we say, he seems to disagree with the Chazon Ish in that prep, and he says that if it's involving two private individuals, you can't say, well, Dina Mechusa Dina, it's between me and you, I don't care what the Malchus says, we're making a kinyan d'oraisa. And so what the kingdom says is not a good kinyan, but it's between me and you, that doesn't affect them. What do you do with the Gemara? What do you do with the Gemara in Baba Basra? So he says that Gemara is talking where they bought it from a guy. If you're dealing with a guy, so then the guy doesn't agree to do anything unless it's with Jewish laws. This is another Gemara. The Gemara says over there, the second Gemara I have on the handout on the first side, that it says in Persia, you don't make a chazaka until you're in the land for 40 years. Normal halacha, chazaka, takes 3 years. If you're living in the land for 3 years, even though you don't have a contract, you're awarded the property afterwards. In Persia, it was 40 years. So the Rabbeinu Yonah says over there, that's only talking when you're dealing with a guy. That's the way you have to do like dinah d'malchusa. But if it's a Jew sitting on someone else's property, another Jewish person's property, so then you go by dinah Torah, where a chazaka is 3 years. So Rav Shlomo Zalman seems to be disagreeing with the Chazon Ish, holding that even if there would be such a place, I don't know if there is such a place anymore, even if there would be such a dictatorship that they say that this is the only way you can make a kinyan, if it's a transaction between two Jews, that wouldn't be affected by the din of Machusa. Now, and the Erech Shai seems to be going arguing with Chazanis in the other extreme. The Erech Shai seems to say that even in a place where they don't, where you can make kinyanim, and there's just this law that says that the kinyan doesn't get finished, in, or the recordation makes a difference, you have to go by the din of Machusa, he says, because if they say they eat a star, it's lo yigna rak b'shtar kedei she'a golav yadu l'choshe chukei amel kayamim. You have to keep the rules of the land. And if the rules of the land say the person who records it first gets the land, he'll get the land, and we don't care about the other circumstances. So it seems that there certainly are two types of situations. The one situation is where the government says, this is the only way to make a kinyan. The Chazanish said, din ha-machus applies there for sure. Rav Shlomo Zalman seems to be disagreeing. The second case is where they don't care what type of kinyan you make, they just say, but we have a law of recordation. So over there, the Chazanish says din ha-machus would not be affected, and certainly Rav Shlomo Zalman would agree with that, but in that case, the Erech Shai would disagree, and he seems to say that din ha-machus applies across the board. There's this type of law, it's for the good of the land, Pitzi Choshen says also, din ha-machus din applies to halachas, which are for the good of the citizens, and this is a law that's for the good of the citizens. It's good for the country to have such a law, that whoever records first should have title to the land. So he also seems to say that that should apply. So that hopefully shouldn't happen too often to us, such a case. But what's more practical, hopefully this also shouldn't happen, but how about the second thing that we talked about? The second case, now that we see, and everyone, even the Rosh Hashanah Zaman agrees that if a guy was involved, you'd have to do din de machusa dina. Right? If you bought it from a non-Jew, he would hold that whoever records first is going to get it, because when a non-Jew is involved, you use their laws. So, let's say in the case where you buy from a non-Jew according to Rosh Hashanah Zaman, or even when you're buying from a Jew according to the Erech Shai, can we say that even though you got your deed, which says the title is being transferred from the seller to the buyer, can we say, but you know someone else comes and makes an end run and sneaks out, gets to the recordation first, he's going to get the property, so maybe it shouldn't be a complete kinyan, and you could just back out of it on your own. I don't have a kinyan yet. Once again, you'll be chayiv to go through with it because you promised, but the kinyan, it's not really yours yet. It's not completely yours, and you can. Is there a way that you could get out of it? So the two things we have to talk about here. The first is based on the previous discussion. If you hold that the place, or you hold that din d'machusa is so strong that the kinyan doesn't work until you record it, so then certainly you would have the right to back out because it wasn't recorded yet. It'd be wrong to do. You're not allowed to. They could be chayv to go through with it, but you officially don't have a kinyan yet if it's in such a place. Okay, most places aren't like that. Most places allow the kinyan to work, and then you just have a recordation law. But maybe we should use last week's logic to say the kinyan shouldn't be complete yet, because we learned last week that in a place where they write a contract, even though kinyan kesef is a good kinyan midoraisa, but a buyer doesn't feel secure until he actually has a contract in his hand. So same thing we should say, go one step further in our places and say, in Maryland, or in many countries, even though the buyer has a contract of sale, he doesn't feel secure until it's recorded in the state records, because different things could happen. He could end up losing the property. So we should say that since such things could happen, he's not secure in the kinyan, and the kinyan isn't finished yet. The kinyan isn't finished until he actually gets it recorded. And in fact, the Divrei Malkiya, the Lamza Rosh Hashiva, and there's a Tshuvas Tofas Reim, they both paskin Lamaisa, that in places where there's a rule that you have to record sales, and if someone goes and beats you out, you lose the property, you have not been Samech Das, you're not secure in that property until it's actually recorded. And because of that, you would have the legal right to renege on the contract, even though it would be wrong to do because you promised it, but you did not make a final kinyan yet. So that's what they hold. However, most poskim disagree. the Chazanish disagrees because he says the Gemara's not giving a blank check over there. The Gemara's not saying a blanket rule that until everything's done to make you secure, the kinyan doesn't work. What the Gemara really means over there, the Rashba explains, is the Gemara says that there was a takanas chachamim. The Gemara says there was a takanas chachamim. The chachamim saw the situation. They saw people aren't secure by just giving money. So they said, until you write a star, it's not a good kinyan. But they didn't say, and therefore wherever you're not secure until you have this type of proof and that type of notary and this type of thing. They didn't say that that's going to stop a kinyan. They say, you need this in addition to kesef, you need to have a star. Once you have a star, the kinyan is finished. We don't go so far to say that, okay, now here there's another problem then. They just made a takana that it applies in such a case. Or they didn't, it wasn't, that's not a precedent. It was one time takanas chachamim to say that kinyan kesef will not work in a place where you have shtaros, where people write shtaros. So that's what the Chazon Ish holds. The Truah Shai has a tshuva about that. Pesachim Choshen says, also he concludes from all these different, he has like 4 pages of different Maror Makomos on this shaila. Does the kinyan work? Those two, you know, Divrei Malkiel and the Divrei Gaonim, brings the Tofes Reim, they say that there is a precedent from that din of kesef to say you're not so mechdas until you have it recorded. Most poskim say that that would not be a problem. The kinyan works as soon as you make a valid instrument of acquisition. So what we've seen tonight is that when it comes to settlement, certainly in Maryland and in most places, the government does not mind. You can make a kinyan however you want, and this is in fact the way the government says the kinyan works. You write this star, and it happens to match Jewish law, which is a kinyan star saying that I'm conveying the property to the buyer. And once you have that, the kinyan is done. In places where there's this, like in Maryland, where you have this rule of recordation, so we said that it seems like a machlokas achronim, if the dinah machusa would outrule dinah Yisrael, since according to dinah Yisrael, the kinyan is finished. This takanas chachamim wasn't, the din of the machlokas isn't that they care, they don't want any kinyan to work unless you do it our way. They said, make whatever kinyan you want. We have a takana we made that we want things recorded, and whoever records first wins it. So that could be, according to the Chazon Ish, according to Shlomo Zalman, would not override Dinei Torah, where Dinei Torah says the kinyan was made. We saw that Erech Shai seemed to say that we would follow din of the machlokas in such a place. Once we are dealing with such a place, so then, after you make settlement, has the kinyan been done? Certainly the kinyan has been done, because even the Din Olam Chusa recognizes the kinyan as having been done. How about that second problem? Maybe you're not so mechdas because you worry that maybe someone else will do the end run and catch it ahead of you. So we said most poskim don't use the Din of Kesef as a precedent, because over here, that was a special one-time takana. The Chacham said, kesef won't work unless it's shtar in the place where they write shtaros. But once you have kesef, and once you have a shtar, you have a valid instrument of acquisition, so then there'll be the kinyan is done, and you don't have to worry about that takana Chacham. So there's both no problem with Dinda Mechusa, because the Dinda Mechusa agrees that this is the time, this is the act of acquisition, and there'll be no problem of the Gemara and Kiddushin that we learned last week. That person's not secure because that was only a one-time takanas chachamim that kesef requires to have a document, a contract with it. But once you have that contract and you've had kinyan kesef, so it is now your property, and the fact that maybe you're not secure until you do all these other things, that doesn't make a difference in halacha.